Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Truth and Prosperity with Dave Krajovic, that's who you're listening to right now, and Pat Krajovic and Penny Golden of Body, Mind, Spirit Guide magazine and radio. Penny is not able to be with us tonight. She had a prior commitment. She was not able to attend. So her energy is certainly here. We talked about the show prior to this evening, but we'll just hold her in good space and we'll get moving forward then. And Pat is here tonight. Hello, Pat.
Hello, everyone. It's so nice to be here with you.
Oh, thank you, honey. You know, I just wanted to go back and refresh everyone because this kind of turned out to be, a two-part show. With last show, we were talking about opposites and the seven deadly sins, and it was interesting because I was briefing Pat because she wasn't able to be here about the seven deadly sins, and she says, "Oh, I know those. And what are they, honey?"
Pride. Well, we call it covetousness, greed, lust, envy, pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth.
Sounds like she has them memorized from a long time ago.
Yeah, a long, 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 long time ago.
Your catechism did you well. They sure did.
It did. I never forgot that.
But what's interesting, and as we talked last time, and I'll direct the listeners to the Body, Mind, Spirit Radio website, and there is a link there for the chart of these seven deadly sins, which, as you know, come out of the Bible. But as with everything in this world, there's a duality. There's light and dark, hot and cold. Well, there's seven deadly sins. There are also seven virtues. And those seven virtues, do you know those, honey, off by heart?
The seven virtues?
So it's a little...
Well, that would be reverence, piety, understanding, courage, discernment, knowledge, and wisdom. That's the graces.
Right.
I'm sorry. The virtues are humility, charity, chastity, patience, temperance, kindness, and diligence.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
So it's the polar opposite of the sin.
Right. But what is really interesting is, and you think back to your own education as when you were younger, is, you know, Pat has the seven deadly sins memorized. She doesn't have the seven virtues memorized. She could probably guess them out of the ethers, maybe. Is that right, honey?
Well, yeah, but, you know, we never really talked about the virtues. We only focused on the evil aspects
exactly
of it.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
So isn't that true of so much about what goes on in our life, is we focus on what's wrong with it or where we're lacking? Never is there much attention on what is the energy we're wishing to create. And this is just a good example. And that's what I love doing with Pat when we teach together a lot. We play off of each other. So I got to use her as an example. You're a wonderful player, honey.
Thank you.
You're fun to play with.
You know, we certainly didn't talk about the graces.
No. No. So,
but what I love about these is when you study them, they relate to the chakras. And it's just such a beautiful system when you map it all together on where we hold these energies in our physical bodies, in our energetic bodies, and how once we put consciousness to it, we have a chance of shifting the energy to open to a new possibility.
Exactly. And Pat especially does a lot of work with the chakras and works with them in private sessions, and we actually have a particular program that we do that we just call Journey Through the Chakras, where we focus on each of these. And, you know, it might be interesting even to tie them into the seven deadly sins, the virtues, and the graces as well, and maybe provide additional content in our class, honey.
That would be a new thing to do. That'd
yeah,
be great.
Yeah. Anyway, so going back to where we started with this energy of, okay, society is focused on what we don't have or what we don't want in our life, and out of that comes a desire to want something new or something different about our life. And then we go along saying, okay, you know, I am tired of, being overweight, or I am tired of not having enough money, or I'm tired of being angry all the time. So we set an intention to be different, to show up differently. And we talked last time about one of the first things that happened is now we've shifted our awareness and we've withdrawn some of the filters that we've had over our information system, so to speak. And I gave the example of the Ford Fusion where we thought the color of the car we were picking was unique. And once we got the car, we saw how many of them there are of the same color. But it's only because we shifted our awareness, whereas nothing ever changed. The same number of cars have always been out there, only our awareness changed. So the information was there, but we filtered it out. It's a simple example with a car, but we filter out so much information in our relationships, where especially in a dynamic such as a husband and wife or a partner to partner, where we want to come out on top, we want to be right, and we filter out information so we can't even see what the real truth is. And we form our judgments based on this filtering process. And it is so real and so true. It causes a lot of conflict in a lot of relationships. So awareness is the first shift that happens. And you begin to see things like this. And even possibly then new opportunities. And as Pat said, honey, you said open to new possibilities. Then the second thing that we talked about were, okay, once we ask for it, it's like, well, all of a sudden, we got these roadblocks that we can't seem to get it. So, for example, I would like more money. And then all of a sudden, the dishwasher breaks and you need a dishwasher. And you're thinking, oh, my gosh, my intention was to be more prosperous, and here I am having to pay more bills. Why is it I always have these bills? Why do these things always happen to me? And the roadblocks come up into our awareness because we ask for more prosperity, but they come up to show us where we're blocking the energy to prosperity. And in this example, it's not so much that the dishwasher broke, but it's what are our thoughts about the dishwasher breaking and our thoughts about our abundance as it relates to that. If the dishwasher breaks and we say, oh, the dishwasher broke, I guess I'll have to pay that bill. And there's no energy around it. There's no negative thinking around it. It's a neutral event. But the flip side of that would be that, you start getting angry. It's like, I never have enough money. I'm always got these unexpected bills. And, it's like, what's wrong with me that I got of this? And I can never get abundance. And I just shifted my attention to abundance and it's not working. That's the roadblock that came up. It's how you acted, either unconsciously reacted to the event or responded in a neutral manner that had no emotional charge. Pat and I work a lot with emotional charge, and this comes up a lot in any situation where someone is looking to change something. It's the thing that keeps us stuck. I mean, it's our thoughts about the thing, but what feeds the thoughts are what, honey? The energy, right?
The energy, exactly.
The energy behind it. So what we talked about last time were, those were two of the points, the awareness and the roadblocks. There's two others that come in our way, get in our way whenever we are looking to change something in our life. And it happens this way all the time. It always comes up.
And that would be the ego. And the ego is our friend. The ego is also, can be the voice in our head that can help us get out of vibrational alignment. So So it can be motivating, it can be stimulating, and it can also put us off track. I mean, ego can say, you work hard, you deserve a better house, you should have a better house, you should have a better house, you shouldn't have to buy a dishwasher, you should be able to whatever, whatever. And it can create an energetic vibration that is out of alignment with the prosperity energy that we are trying to draw to us.
Absolutely. And that vibrational attraction is so important when you're trying to change something. So you've got to be willing to clear it. And the ego, it almost has a life of its own, is a way to look at it. And it wants to live in this emotional realm. I mean, you could almost define the ego as, you know, this collective of emotions. It likes the drama. Does anyone know anyone in their family or family members or coworkers that love the drama and they seem to live for the drama? People feel alive in the drama, you know, and there's a certain righteousness that comes out of that.
Well, there's a certain stimulation that comes out of it.
Stimulation.
It helps us feel alive. It helps us feel purposeful. It gives us something to chatter about. You know, it provides thoughts to feed on. It provides emotions to feed our pain body. I mean, it does a lot of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, and Pat mentioned the pain body, which is the concept from Eckhart Tolle, where he talks about that you're basically addicted to that pain body, or you're addicted to that drama. And there is an actual chemical reaction that occurs in the body along the neural pathways that keeps us trapped. So it makes it even harder to change biochemically as a result of that. But, you know, for me personally, the biggest part about the ego was about wanting to be right.
Wanting to be right. Yeah, because people would rather be right than be connected. So you have to really take a look at, you know, what am I getting? What have I made so important about being right that I lost my connection to things that are presumably important to me?
You know, and what Pat said is so important. And would you do that again, honey?
What have I made so vital or important about being right that I've sacrificed my connection to the people I love, things I love, circumstances I like to be in alignment with?
So in this case, if you're intending to have deeper or more authentic relationships, when those roadblocks come up or when you see the ego rise and you see righteousness come out of that, or reaction or anger, you know, which is your wrath, in the seven deadly sins, or pride, which is one of the others that come out of that, or envy can come out of that, all of that ego energy in there. So what Pat's saying is, if you can find a moment where you can pause and breathe, and maybe it's not in the moment where you find yourself reacting, but afterwards, and then ask that question, wait a minute, I said I wanted connection. Why is it that I made something much more important than connection in my life? Now, here's the interesting thing, and we're getting a little off, but you don't need to know what that thing is. You just have to declare to the universe, I'm done with that thing that I've made so important. And, you know, there might be a story behind it, but who cares? The story is just fluff. It's just the world of form, and it's just something else to feed drama. If you can let that go, and there's a lot of techniques that Pat and I do for helping you to disconnect with that energy. And the breath is one of those huge ones. Ho'oponopono is another thing. Pranic healing, all these different modalities. You can focus on that energy and let go, and you make that other thing less important than the thing that you want. Connection, in other words, is much easier to come to the surface. And that works in prosperity, on the example with the dishwasher breaking. You know, using the same thing. What is it I've made so vital that I'm willing to push away abundance? What have I made so vital about being angry over the dishwasher breaking What is it about me that I did that? I chose that. I chose to be angry about that. I didn't choose for the dishwasher to break, but I chose to be angry as to it breaking. Why have I made that more important than my abundance or prosperity? Whatever that is, I choose to get rid of it, let it go. Say goodbye, I'm ready for something new. I want something new to be born in my life. And you have to somewhere come to that point. And it can be, we talked last time a little bit about courage. It can be a difficult point because it's the point at which the energy begins to shift. So it's the asking of the question that drives a shift in the energy. Isn't that right, honey?
It is.
As opposed to just being stuck in it, just asking the question alone is like a redirection of that energy. And that's what all this is. It's a redirection of the energy. And I'm going to come back to that in just a second, but I wanted to say one other thing about ego and righteousness. And, you know, that was so much of our relationship between Pat and I, was my ego and need to be right that just drove it. And it drove a great number of arguments because Dave had to be right. And, you know, that does not work in a relationship, because the only way I can be right is if Pat's wrong. And you can just learn from my experience in that. It does not work. It leads to suffering and pain and disconnection. And anything good that you're going to want in your life doesn't come from the need, and I say need, to be right. Do you want to comment on any of that, honey?
No, I think you've said it all. And, you know, I think there's also sometimes a need to make another person feel less than in order for us to feel greater than. And, you know, that's something when we get that urge to make someone small, to look at what is my need to do that and what am I fulfilling in myself in order that I may diminish someone else. So
that's a
whole nother conversation, but I think it's a good point to keep awareness around that.
But this goes everywhere. I mean, this is, you know, what drove the Second World War, with, you know, the righteousness there and a different race being of less quality. It drove slavery in this country, you know, in the ego energy of that, and that I feel bigger because you're less. And it's alive in all of us. And when we see it, you know, again, what have I made so important? And let's let that go. So we said that there's, well, I'll tell you what, we should just remind everyone what the phone number is if you want to call in for any kind of a question or a comment. The phone number to call in, the guest call-in number, is 646-378-0378. And then if you press the number 1 in your phone, that'll let us know that you're there. So again, that number is 646-378-0378. Okay? All right, so we talked a little bit about the ego energy, and anytime you're looking to make a change in your life, you're going to see the ego energy come out and raise its ugly head. It just is. It's part of who we are. It's part of the human condition. And we don't want it to be the ruling energy. And from a chakra system, honey, I don't know, maybe you could just elaborate a little bit on the ego and what chakras you want to rule. And
well, typically when we're coming from ego, we're coming from the solar plexus, and that's a lower chakra. It really is all about the physical body, the physical energy, our strength of will, you know, the public face that we show others. And when the solar plexus is in charge, we're coming from lower will, our human will, not our spiritual or higher or more evolved will. So we really want to be governed through the upper chakras, the more spiritual centers, particularly the Ajna chakra. That is where we have our insight, our higher vision, our intuition, And we want that directing our course, not the solar plexus. So I think it's really important to, you know, when we're reactionary, we're coming from a lower vibrational energy, a lower center. When we're thoughtful and grounded and centered and coming from a place of response rather than reaction, we're coming from a higher center.
And one of the things, you know, a way to look at it is, you know, if you fill a balloon with air, you know, it'll fill up to its capacity and you can kind of tell where it is. But if you put more air in, there's less elasticity in the balloon. If you put even more air in, it gets stretched even more and there's even less elasticity. And you put even more in and all of a sudden it bursts. That's kind of like the chakras in a way. And the solar plexus, if you keep feeding it with anger and keep expressing the anger, when you compare the energy level of a solar plexus of an angry person to the energy levels of their other chakras, can you guess what you're going to find?
It's pretty congested.
It's congested, which means there's a whole bunch of energy stuck in that chakra. And that chakra stands out much, much larger than others. So some people say, well, large is good, big is good, right? Well, no, not if the energy is not moving, because then it's stuck. And as I indicated with the balloon, that builds up a lot of pressure, hence the disposition for anger. And that works with all the chakras, every one of them, from whatever the condition might be. And hence, you know, that results in certain types of illnesses for the particular organs that those chakras are affected by.
But how this can impact your ability to manifest is if you're always reacting, if you're always, and I like to think about it as your, you know, your set point. Is it peaceful or is it anxiety ridden? Are you in fear or are you present and accepting and allowing? And if you are present and accepting and allowing, and you then you feel good. And when you feel good, then you can attract things that you want that are of a more positive nature. But when you're always coming from that place of angst and fear and wanting and lacking, you're only going to attract more of that. So from a manifestation point of view, if you're not feeling good, you're coming from, you know, a place of imbalance, and you're probably not going to manifest things that you want in your life that are positive and beautiful and wonderful and wonderful. You're gonna be more of the same.
So one of the things you're saying then is it's important to have balance in all the chakras.
It is.
To be able to create that.
It is. So it's not only energetically what you're putting out, you know, how is what I'm thinking contributing to what I'm putting out energetically? How is what I'm feeling contributing to what I'm putting out energetically? And what comes first, the thought or the feeling? It doesn't really matter. What does matter is, you know, what is my vibration or what is my alignment with what I say I want? So if I want the big house, but I'm always resonating at an energy of poor me, I'm such a victim, I never get what I want, I live in this small little place, it doesn't suit my needs, I'll never have enough money to, and that kind of a story, you're not going to more than likely manifest the house that you want because you're not vibrating in a way that would allow the universe to bring it to you.
Exactly. You know, and it reminds me just of an example we do, you know, quite frequently. You know, Pat said, like, there's two different energies going on. One is I want the house, and the other is, you know, I'm not worthy for the house. So basically, there's a conflict going on within the body.
That's a very good one, yes.
And a conflict, a contradiction, or an energy moving in one direction, another energy moving in another direction.
And if I could just interject, I think that's why affirmations don't work, because people affirm things that they say in their gut and solar plexus. Yeah, right. And, you know, they say fake it till you make it, but if you don't make it, you just continue to fake it.
Right. Continue to fake it, yeah. So it sets up a conflicting energy, and you have to have, I mean, there's ways around that. If the affirmation is a high enough vibration and you continue that, it will transform the lower energies, but you need a lot of that higher energy. So things that work well with affirmations are other modalities that bring in additional high vibrating energies to lessen the impact of the negative ones or the lower vibrations. And that helps the affirmations be more effective. We should talk about that one in a little bit more in a future future show. But the point where we were heading with all this, and we're kind of talking about the energy body, is the energy system itself is within the chakras. Or, you know, let me back up. We said earlier there was a chemical addiction that occurs within the body to certain emotions and drama. Well, energetically, there are things that are holding us in place with these thought forms. And remember, Pat said, I forget what example you used, but we could take anything like, geez, I'm not worthy to, you know, be wealthy, or I never seem to have enough money, or money doesn't seem to come very easily to me. I really have to work hard to have enough money. All those thought forms, where do they come from? I mean, where do they exist? And energetically, they actually exist as a form, and they can be seen clairvoyantly within your auric field. So, you know, little thought forms that have, you know, very little energy behind them aren't really going to affect behavior very much, or thought forms that are fed infrequently. But those thought forms repeated over and over again are going to be sort of have a consciousness of their own. In other words, they're the ones that are telling you how you're going to live your life, and you don't even know it's happening because it's all unconscious.
You know, I totally think that's right on the money. And, you know, there's a quote in Scripture that says, "You are filled even now with the bounty of God, my Father, who supplies all my wants." So if you feel like your purse is empty, and you deny, you, what you need to do is not focus on the fact your purse is empty. Deny that the purse is empty and determine that prosperity will manifest in every way. And never think of yourself as poor or needy, but look at all the things that you have, because they say, for walls have ears. And you really don't want to be continuing to talk about what you don't have, because all that does is feed that with energy.
Exactly. So that thought form grows.
It does.
Literally grows.
It does.
And it gets bigger and bigger. And if you do that, and here's the thing. You say, oh, I don't feed that thought form. I only think about it if the dishwasher breaks. It's a recurring in your mind over and over again, who knows how many times a day. Hundreds, perhaps. Thousands. They say there's 50 to 70,000 thoughts the average person has a day, but they're aware of only maybe 1,000 or 2,000, very few. That's incredible how many we have that happen below the level of consciousness. So it's one of the reasons why it's so hard to change, because you've got all this going on at the subconscious level. And it's like Pat said, why the positive affirmations don't always work, because there's so much countering that. And that's, but they do work for other, some people, because if you could look at the energetic scale, they only needed a small little bit to tip them in the other direction, and boom, it changes what happens in their world of form. But you know, anywhere else, the imbalance may be too great, and therefore they're not able to address it or make the change that they're looking for. I think we have a caller here, so let me see if we can try and put the caller on hold, on live. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Dave.
Yeah, I saw your, whatchamacallit, on Blog Talk Radio. What's it about? I'm just wondering.
Oh, we're talking about prosperity, the truth and prosperity.
Okay.
Right, and we're covering all the different aspects of prosperity, and this is just one of many shows that we've done. And tonight we're dealing with intentionality and some of the roadblocks that come up when we set ourselves up to change, why it's difficult to change, and what are some of the things we can do to help manifest that change in our life.
Well, by change, what do you mean by change? Like
transform any, well, we're talking about prosperity here, but transform anything in your life. Because the rules for prosperity are the same as the rules for relationships, for happiness. It doesn't change. It all works the same way.
Okay, because I feel like
so why don't you just
I really don't
pardon
understand
me?
Prosperity.
Well, we can talk about prosperity would deal with abundance in your life. It could be financial prosperity. It could be most people think of prosperity as financial prosperity.
Or as financial wealth. But you can have wealth without being wealthy. You can have a wealth of abundance in relationship, in you know, your environment where you live, the things that you do, the quality of life that you need. You can be extremely prosperous.
All right, hold on a minute.
Areas.
I'll be right back.
Anyway, so
yeah. So we're gonna continue with what we were talking about. So in this case, with the energy body, and you have these thought forms that you're growing, how do you lessen their hold on you? And that's really the key. So how do you lessen the hold on the ego? How do you lessen the hold of these thought forms? How do you minimize the roadblocks? How do you deal with the new awareness that comes into your awareness? And that's how we're going to leave the show for tonight, and that's where we're going to pick up on the next show, is what are some of the things we can do to affect more positive change in our life without going through this drama, without letting the ego raise its ugly head, without experiencing the pain body. And how do we lessen the hold of the solar plexus chakra and let those higher chakras guide us a little bit more, like Pat talked about?
You know, and if we could just end, there's a verse out of the scripture that says, I will open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And in this quote, heaven represents the mind. All things are done through the mind. So just in closing, really monitor your thoughts. You know, am I thinking wealth or am I thinking lack? Am I thinking connection or am I thinking, isolation? So really look at where you put your thoughts, because that drives the energy. So just leaving you with that thought.
All right. So
all right.
We're wrapping it up. And
thank you so much for being with us.
We thank you all for being here tonight and look forward to the next show where we get into what we do about all this. All right. Take care now. This is Dave and Pat. And for Penny, we're saying good night and namaste.